This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Leroy Nagin!
This is Dirt and Spray.
Dirt got fired. He's looking for a job. Don't hire him. He's... Just to stay away from the guy. It's Sports Radio, 1080 The Fan, not with Dirt. Sorry, dude.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What is a Sprague? We should just call him Craig. Yeah, that's your new name, Craig.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I'm here to support a friend and a work colleague.
You don't know what love is.
Love you very much, Francie.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, as we are every single day.
Period.
We will put in a request. We had listeners saying that as soon as paint went on, the app cut to a commercial.
If that happened and you were listening on the app, the podcast will be up shortly, and you can listen to the entire thing.
Get the whole thing. There's something goofy going on with White Orbit in here.
So. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Must be new.
130.
131.
131.
Today's 131.
131. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. I want to play a fun game of Flip It or Stick It. It's quickly becoming one of my favorite segments that we do occasionally on this fine show.
Yeah.
And we'll see what we want to flip and what we want to stick. I want to start with this. Is the troll worth it? So I didn't realize this was a thing, and then I saw this yesterday, and it was just glorious. USC played Penn State this weekend. Good, really good game. Down to the wire, went to overtime. Penn State wins the game. Walk-off field goal. There was a Penn State fan that some people noticed ran out on the field right after the USC team took the field.
As the game started.
They take the field. Here come the Trojans. And there's like a guy in blue running out on the field. It's like, what's going on there? Well, it has been discovered, and maybe this has been public knowledge and I just didn't know it. If you pay... I think the range is anywhere from $1,450 to about $1,800. You will be allowed to run on the field with the USC football team.
You get to come out of the tunnel, and it depends on the opponent. So this game is obviously going to be the max of $1,800,
right? Yeah. So you're playing a Baylor School for the Blind. It's on the shorter end of that. Penn State's in town. You're going to pay the $1,800. There is a Penn State fan who bought that right, paid $1,800 to run on the field. He was wearing head-to-toe Penn State gear.
Yeah.
He had a GoPro or like a selfie stick, and he was filming the entire thing as he's running. There's video of it you can go find. I think he posted it to his TikTok.
Audio's not great.
So you can't play it, but he's running out on the field saying, "Go Lions, let's go Penn State!" Like, legitimately, USC team, and then this group of people, and it's this guy in all blue. And first off, I just chuckled of like, you're that desperate for money that you're letting fans pay to rush. Okay.
Yeah.
Is this worth the troll?
Is it worth it if you have a good paying job and disposable
income? You have disposable income. Oregon State has you schedule the game somehow again against USC. You go down there.
Yes.
Head to toe, orange and black, Brandon Sprague. Let's go, Beavers!
I would wear the Lloyd suit.
Yeah!
From Dumb and Dumber, I would wear the all-orange suit and trot out with the Trojans
that would be so good.
Screaming, "Go Beavs!" If you have the money, then sure, it's worth it. I'm curious about a couple things. Vanderbilt did something a couple weeks ago. They beat Bama, and what they did was they recovered the field goal out of the river, and then they started breaking it off into pieces and selling pieces for $500 to $1,000. I guess I get it. And if you're a Vanderbilt alum... and you want a piece of a field goal to say, "Oh, it's the field goal." Okay, good for you. Why does USC need to do this? Why do they need to have any fan pay $1,000
to run on the field?
They're going
to
make $80 million from the Big Ten Network.
Yes, they have a full Big Ten rights. They're in Hollywood. How do you not have money?
Their NIL is covered by Nikes and Beats by Dre. They got all these big corporations yes. that pay their athletes.
What are we doing?
Look, this is not an excuse in any way, but I think it highlights a little part of maybe why USC has not fully ever turned it around post Pete Carroll.
They're letting fans pay
is
to
that
run on the field.
They're not managed very well. What are you doing?
How do you not vet this too? Like, all right, you want to sell this fine?
How do you vet it?
That's a great question. I don't
know. Are you a Trojan fan?
I mean, if this guy shows up, he's standing in the tunnel in all blue. I'm like, here's your $1,500 back. We're not going to let you run on the field, dude. It's not going to. You're not rushing our field after our team takes the field wearing all Penn
well,
State gear.
So if you go back and watch this video, if you haven't seen it, you got to find this video. It's hilarious. I would say there's maybe 8, 10 Trojan fans ahead of him.
There's a clump of Trojan fans.
Okay, you need 10 to 12 G's that bad. You're making $80 million.
It's so like they're not poor. They shouldn't be poor.
I think it's such a bad look for your school. Although, what sport would this? I think the dumbest sport to have this happen would be the NBA. If the NBA allowed fans to pay their way to come out of the tunnel with the team.
I want more than that. I want layup line. Give me in the layup line.
You've got to go through the layup line.
If I'm paying money, give me in the layup line.
Really?
I'm not affecting anybody's pregame warm-up. I'm just taking my layup. I'll go get back in line. It's not throwing anybody off. Let me have my tearaway pants all the way open on each side because you got to have the tearaway pants open. And let me get my layups up pregame.
Let me ask sincerely. We work in AM radio.
Or batting practice would probably take
the game. Fill in the blank. Of how little we make. How much would you honest hand to God pay right now to come out of the tunnel game one against the Warriors and be
opening,
in the layup line?
Opening night,
you come out when Mason says, here comes
here
the Trailblazers.
Come your Blazers.
You get to be in that layup line opposite Steph Curry. How much would you honestly take out of your bank account and pay for it? What is the biggest amount?
That would be pretty cool.
Would you pay a G? Would you think about it?
I'd think about it. Probably not, but I'd think about it. If it was $1,000, I'd think about it.
So if you're thinking about it, why not just do it?
Yeah.
Swag's like, I'm scared of... I think Swag would
come
pay
on.
Like
it's like one
G's.
Pilots game. Get out there. Get your layups in. What are we doing? It's just, come on, home opener. You're working for free. That's all it is, man. Batting practice would be the other one that would get me to consider it. Like, okay. If you could pay to go into the cage pregame, music's playing, fans are starting to fill in.
Yeah.
Let me get my cuts, kind of rotate in and out. I would consider
batting practice
that.
Would be fun, but it's a little less because there's not very many people.
It's
in
not
the
a
stadium.
Full arena. Totally. Yeah.
Now, what if I said you also get to be a team captain, dap up like a LeBron
out at the center court,
an Embiid. Yeah, you're at center court. You're
feeling the ball. I got to feel the ball.
No, you're waiting for the ball to be passed down from the 300 section. Like, how much are we paying for the layup line and to be a team captain for one night?
That would. Yeah. I don't. I'm still not going. $1,000's my limit. I'm cutting it off at $1,000.
But there would be $1,000 to carry one of the Oregon flags out of the tunnel after the motorcycle.
I don't think I would. Not to carry the flag
really?
Out. I don't think I. I'm already down there. Like, I would totally feel different running out of the tunnel, but standing on the field, I get a good. You get a feel for what it's like. Not quite. Running on the field, I get that. But I saw this yesterday. It had me cracking up. This is, they got to be terrified of this thing going viral and now every big game that they have at home of fans wanting to go do, like opposing fans buying this.
Really?
Because for a lot of people, $1,500 is not that much money.
Yeah, but for a lot of people, it is.
Yeah, I mean, dude, there was a guy. So
was this a student or was it an alum?
It's just a Penn State fan. He's just a diehard Penn State fan.
I wonder if it was an alum that lived in Southern California, so had a local
zip
code.
I was talking to Dusty before the pregame show on Saturday that we were all concerned about how many Ohio State fans were going to be in town, and there was a lot of red walking around. You're like, oh, God, what? 60-40 was the rumor online of what it could look like. Wasn't quite that, but there was a lot of red there. Dusty has a buddy who I believe he said has 6 tickets, season tickets.
Okay.
Decent seats, 15 rows up, I think on the opponent sideline, so under the cover.
Yeah.
He got a call from an Ohio State fan. I don't know how this worked out, how they found it. There was an Ohio State fan that called him and offered him $25,000 for the 6 tickets. He turned it down.
I would have sold those.
He turned it down.
Straight cash.
Which I jokingly said on the show
would
of like, Dan Lanning needs to find all those fans that got an offer and like make a phone call to them. Like, you turned down $25,000 for 6 tickets?
Well, that was the other thing. In watching that Ducks versus them video, the camera on the field, It looked like more red on that camera than it did on the TV.
I mean, there was a lot of red in the stadium.
Yeah, I know, but I was like, whoa, that's more red than it looked like on television from that camera angle. Man, 25 G's or the game of your life.
And then the game ends up going that way. Would you be able to forgive yourself if the game went that way and you sold the tickets and you didn't go?
I mean, you left before it ended.
Well, I didn't pay for a ticket. I'm spending thousands of dollars.
I think that might make it more satisfying. You paid $25,000 to come and
you saw
this
them
lose to my team in the building.
Yeah, aren't That's you going to Rennie's and just buying whatever you want, getting housed and then Ubering home?
Because I'm guessing he probably has some other friends or whatever. It's like, even if you were there, maybe tailgating outside with a TV or whatever, you could still feel like that would make it hurt worse.
And if they lose, you're outside and you're kind of like, oh, well, go ahead and witness that, but I got 25 G's out of that experience.
That's good. That's good. Somebody said catch in the bullpen, they'd want to pay for it. Yeah. Unless you have you want to catch like a starting pitcher as they warm up.
Oh, be the bullpen catcher warming up the starter?
No.
No.
You do not want, like, unless you were like a minor league catcher or a college catcher.
Well, that might be a college person.
Might be. You do not want to do that. I'm just going to tell you right now, your hand will break.
What about I'm blanking right now. The start car for NASCAR.
That guy, that'd be kind of cool. The pace car.
The pace car, yeah.
Driving a lap at the Daytona 500
whatever. Go. There's an accident. Go.
That would be fun.
Somebody said there was just an auction for the Portland Timbers to be sitting on the bench while the team warms up. So they're auctioning that off. Four people. The latest bid I saw was $150 total.
Now, if you want to get creative and make a good amount of money, because I don't think this is making them enough to, like, why would this be worth it for you?
Because to your point, you're going $1,500 average a pop. There was probably, 10 to 15 people that ran out on the field in the video?
Yeah, there's not that many people. Most of them are dressed like regular. They're not even like wearing
old lady
Trojan
running
gear
out there in like jeans. Like, what are you doing? That's $22,000 is what you're making if that's the average.
Like, you cannot need $22,000 that much. You're a college institution. How much would it be worth it to not only come out of the tunnel, but you get to call a play?
Now we're talking. I'm taking my shot.
Go deep.
Go deep. All verticals.
Let's go.
Come on. Take your shot, Will. I'm in on the headset. Who the hell is this guy on the headset right now? Actually, I spent $50,000 to call this play, Will, so I'm going to go ahead and go.
This is such a bad look for your institution when an opposing fan comes out. They're like, go Lions.
Dude, it's so bad, man.
Sums up their year, too. They just had their star linebacker redshirt. Like, boy. That thing,
yeah,
it might be a 7-5 year. I honestly thought they could be 9-3 this year. They're losing guys left and right. He's leaking confidence.
Not good, Bob. Three games away from being undefeated, though. Before we get to our game of flip it and stick it, how would you feel if your coach said this? West Virginia was a team that came into the year with decent expectations. Remember, they got body bagged in week one by Penn State. They lost to Iowa State last week. They get Kansas State at home this week. So another ranked team coming to town.
Yeah.
And Neil Brown is their head coach. He was asked at his press conference this week how the fans should feel because they keep having these big games at home and they keep losing these big games at home.
Yeah.
And he said, I get that they want to win, but what I would say is, did they have a good time? Did they enjoy it? It's a pretty good atmosphere. Assuming they had a pretty good time tailgating. So if they're in the deal for the enjoyment, then I would come back. I look at the weather. It's going to be nice again. I get they're frustrated that we didn't win. We played a tough schedule. Everybody that's beat us hasn't lost. That's no excuse. It's just the truth. Games in our league are to come down to the fourth quarter, and I don't think this one is going to be any different. We need them to help us. Would you like your coach telling you, well, the atmosphere was good and the weather was nice, so come back. Pay for another ticket.
The Jackie Moon now of college football.
That's your sell job to come to the Kansas State game. Not we're going to win this weekend, but dude, the weather forecast looks pretty solid in West Virginia.
I mean, is this not whole segment been Jackie Moon, a guy shooting a full court shot for 10 G's, aka a guy coming out of a tunnel?
It totally is.
This is terrible. Didn't they play Penn State to start the year and they got destroyed in that game?
I sprang the line on that game. 34-12 was your final. I thought they can cover that number. It was like 10.5. Didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know if the weather and good atmosphere is going to be enough for them. Though they are diehard fans over there.
Yeah, they'll be there.
What was the final of that Iowa State game?
28-16.
Yeah, it didn't feel very close when I kept checking.
My Cyclone still undefeated, man. Still undefeated. So
I think Kansas State's going to go in there and win.
Probably, but hey, you can still have a good time and the weather's going to be nice. So that was the answer from Neil LeBron.
Is that why you go to football? football games.
That's it. As weather's nice. Weather was beautiful in Eugene this weekend. That
it was,
is for sure.
It was a nice weekend.
Let's get to our game of Flip It and Stick It. Do you remember what you thought, and do you want to stick with it, or are we flipping? And we'll let you know how the audience feels about this as well. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fam.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
That's a good one. Somebody asking Vancouver Ford text line, how much, Dirt, how much would you pay to hit the ceremonial tee shot for the Masters?
Oh, how much would you pay? Right now.
He said, I'm guessing Teddy Ballgame's never going to college. Yeah, there goes, you got to get a scholarship, bud. That money's gone. Sorry.
How much equity we got in this
can
house?
Can you imagine how nervous you would be hitting that shot?
No way.
Stop.
Why?
Stop it.
Why would you be nervous?
You play through a group and you get nervous.
No.
Yes.
Why would you get nervous for that shot?
Because you're going to shank it and hit somebody in the shin?
Yeah, but I paid to do that.
Just acting like you wouldn't be nervous.
I wouldn't.
On national television hitting a tee shot.
Not
that is
not
such
at
a crock of ass.
Not at all.
Goes up there like Rodney Dangerfield. Place your bets. Place your bets.
Left side of the fairway, right side of the fairway.
I might contemplate going Happy Gilmore if I paid for that shot. I'm getting weird and having fun.
Do you guys remember, let's play the fun game of Flip It or Stick It preseason prediction style.
Now, you'd swing out of your shorts.
Yeah, I mean, you got to swing hard.
You got to swing out of your shorts.
You
got
to go
shot.
For it. You got to try and hit one as far as you can and live with the consequences.
Yeah, you have to care more about swinging, hitting it hard, and having it go distance than like lightly, gently swinging
I'm not hitting
through
a bunt.
To go straight.
I'm not going single up the middle.
No,
we're we're seeing how far this thing can go and how sideways it can go.
And I kind of want to go forward.
All right. Do you guys remember your preseason predictions for the four Northwest schools?
Mine were ambitious, if I remember correctly.
Okay, let's start. Let's go through
these.
I do
remember my Duck one, though. 13-0 and the number two seed in the playoffs.
That was your thought.
I'm sticking with
that. I had 10-2 with Oregon.
You did have 10-2 with Oregon.
I had 8-4 with Oregon State.
9-3. 9-3.
Okay, and then Washington State, I had 7-5.
You had 7-5.
And Washington, I think I had 8-4.
6-6.
6-6.
Okay. Which
so I've gone back. Probably
I was ambitious with the dogs. I need to.
You had 8-4 with Washington.
Yeah, we need to.
So let's go
that.
Through. Let's play a fun game of Flip It or Stick It. So here's how we all felt about Washington State preseason. I got poll questions up on this, by the way. You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Final record. We're at the halfway point for everybody. I guess Washington, technically a game over, because they played 7. They got a bye this weekend, so everybody will be at 7 after this weekend. The Cougs, right now, 5-1 at the halfway point of the season. Our preseason predictions, you both said 7-5 for the Cougs. I said 8-4. Are we flipping it or are we sticking it?
I'm going to flip it. I'll bump it up to 8-4 with you.
Only 8-4.
Yeah.
Now, have you looked at the rest of Washington State's schedule would be my question.
Yeah. They still got they got a few games.
I think they're going to be better. They have Hawaii. They should win.
Yes, this
San
weekend.
Diego State's terrible.
Yep.
Utah State's won one game.
Yep.
New Mexico. A bad one? New Mexico and Mexico State. I think it's New Mexico State is the
I
bad
believe
one.
So.
So that's a flip game because that's road. At Corvallis is a toss up.
Totally a toss up.
Their defense is not very good. They almost lost this game against Fresno. They got a crucial pick six, and then they play Wyoming, and I don't think Wyoming is all that good this year.
New Mexico State, by the way, sucks. New Mexico is not great, but not as bad as New Mexico State.
Okay, so if I'm looking at this and playing the win-loss, win-loss.
Win-loss,
loss. Are we going to 9-3?
I'm seeing three straight right now, so that's 8-1. I'll go New Mexico State. That's 9-1. Oregon State's a toss-up, and Wyoming's a win. So, yeah. I answered
10-2.
I'm going to go 9-3.
You're going to go 9-3? I'll go 9-3. You go 9-3?
Okay. Dude, their defense is very poor at tackling. They will lose
No doubt. I think they're going to lose one more. Maybe it's the Oregon State game. Maybe it's another one. So I'm going to write down our flipped picks here so we can revisit these at the end of the year. By the way, again, poll questions up on these. Right now, the number one answer for our listeners, 42% saying 9-3, final record for Washington State.
I think they're going to have one dud in there and then lose another game.
36% said 10-2. That is where I answered. Let's go to the Huskies. So again, our preseason predictions on the Huskies. I had Washington at 7-5. Sprague, you had them at 6-6. Mm-hmm. Swag, you had them at 8-4. Are we flipping it or are we sticking it?
They're a tough team to figure out.
They are.
I think they lose this weekend at Indiana or next weekend at Indiana. I think they could beat USC.
Yeah, they get that game at home. They're another one of those that's a little bit different at home than they are on the road.
They're not winning at Penn State. 5-4. They're not winning at Oregon.
5-5. Dude, I
so they are 4-3. They're 4-3 right now.
I'm sticking.
You're going to stick with that?
Yeah, because I think they can beat USC at home, and that's the big one, because everything else is, I think they lose to Indiana, I think they lose at Penn State and at Oregon, and they'll beat UCLA. It's the USC game is the difference.
Yeah, that's a toss-up.
And I'm going to say they win that because I don't trust USC, and Washington at home is a different animal. I think they'll get up for that game. I'm going to stick it, 6-6.
Sticking with 6-6?
Look at me, predicting it.
So that'd be a 2-3 finish to their year, Swag. Sticking
it? I'll come on. There's no way they go 8-4.
He's got to flip it.
They'd have to go 4-1 the rest of the way.
That ain't
not happening. UCLA is definitely a win. We all know that.
Yes. They're so bad.
That is a guaranteed win on their schedule. They will not lose at home to UCLA. At Penn State, at Oregon, as you mentioned, are tough.
Those are losses. Like, can we just be honest about that? Unless some devastating injuries happen.
Sure.
They're not beating Penn State at Penn State, and they're not beating Oregon at Oregon after what they've done the last 2 years against Oregon.
I do think they're going to beat USC at home.
Lanning will try to win that game by 50 points if he will do the 70.
He's going to try and run it
if
up.
He can.
I do think they're going to beat USC at home. I remember saying that back in August that I thought Washington had a chance to be better than USC, and somebody laughing at that. But I think I could see the USC season tail spinning again, similar to the way that it did last year.
It already is.
Sure. How much do we? I mean, this comes down to the question of 9 a.m. game at Indiana next weekend to me. Like, I see two wins on their schedule, so that would get them to 6. It comes down to the 9 a.m. game at is Indiana good?
Well, Indiana's 6-0, so I think we need to say yes, they're
good.
They're
6-0. What's their best win this year?
Well, it's not a great schedule, but what I would say is Washington's offense can score, and I think they will because Indiana's defense isn't particularly their strength. Is that defense going to stop Indiana at home? 9 a.m. kick? They couldn't stop Iowa.
No.
9 a.m. kick.
No, they could not.
I think there's going to be a little juice to that game for Indiana fan. They're not diehards.
Not diehards.
But they're 6-0. They love the cigarette thing.
Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing that offense suddenly being slowed down by Huskies defense.
I'm going to stick with 7-5. I think they win that game, and I think they beat USC, and I think they beat UCLA. I'm going to stick with 7-5. Swag, final record prediction for the Huskies. What's your flip to?
I think I'll go 6-6.
6-6? Okay, we flip that to 6-6. Oregon State, we all had the same record prediction for Oregon State. We all thought preseason that the Beavs would go 9-3 this year.
I am.
They are 4-2.
No.
4-2. Not gonna happen. Flip it or stick it. What's our flip to then?
I'm flipping for sure. Look, UNLV, the tease of this game, the defense was bad, right? UNLV has to turn around and host Boise the following Friday.
Look ahead spot.
So it's a little bit of a look ahead.
UNLV's defense isn't all that great. They score.
But if they don't get enough guys back defensively, they're not going to be different.
But if the Beavs don't tackle in the manner that they didn't tackle against Nevada, then... Right.
So this kind of hinges on this weekend. If they look similar and UNLV runs this up and does whatever they want, I'm having a hard time finding a win outside of Air Force. And I'm including San Jose State at home. San Jose State has explosive offense. They're higher ranked in a lot of these stats than Oregon State.
You're not wrong. We didn't think much of Colorado State coming to town, and that was a game that went to overtime.
And UNLV, if you lose that, I think you're losing at Cal. San Jose State, could you call that a toss-up? I think you should beat Air Force. And then Washington State at home at least. I'll call it a toss-up. And then at Boise, I just don't think they're going to win.
Yeah.
So I'm going to...
What's our flip to? 9-3 to what?
7-5.
Seven and five?
Yeah, I'm going to go 7-5.
Okay. I, too, will go 7-5 as well. I don't have much to add there. I think the logic is sound. This weekend's big. You are different at home, and you do have to remember that Washington State last year did not end the season well. So maybe there's something in the water in Pullman that they just can't end seasons well, or maybe they've got that monkey off their back because you do get them in Corvallis later in the season. And last but not least, by the way, let me tell you how the listeners feel about those two teams, by the way, because I forgot to do that. Oregon State, the number one answer right now, final record, 43% say 8-4, 42% say 7-5 or worse.
Yeah.
So that's
it's the toss-up
pretty
game,
fair.
Right?
Huskies, I asked, what will their final record be? 48% say 7-5 is where the majority of our audience is going right now. Last but not least, the Ducks. Now, I had 11-1 preseason. Sprague, you had 10-2 preseason. Mm-hmm. Swag even added a bonus game, even though we're doing regular season records, and said 13-0. Flipping it or sticking it?
I think if you asked us after the first 2 weeks, we might have some flipping going on.
Yes, we would have.
But they have figured this out, and I know college football is wild and unpredictable. I'm flipping. I don't know if I see a loss here. I don't think they're going to – they can half look at Purdue and still win that game in their sleep. Illinois at Eugene is interesting. I think Illinois was overlooking Purdue last weekend, but we'll see what they do.
Well, he had the new quarterback, new OC. I think Purdue was coming off a bye, too.
Michigan, I just don't think they're very good. That should be like, hey, they're just going to run the football. Even if it's ugly, I think they win.
Wisconsin's playing a little bit better right now. They found a little groove offensively.
Yeah, how about that Rutgers Big Ten title game appearance there, Swag? Still feel good about that one?
Yeah.
I'm going to flip. I think they go undefeated. I think Swag might be nailed this one exactly.
Flipping it to 12-0? Swag, are you sticking? You're sticking?
You should.
Okay, I'm going to stick to it 11-1.
Where's the loss for you if you're looking at it? Is it at Michigan or at Wisconsin, or is it Illinois coming in and
I don't see them losing at home. I don't see somebody getting them at Autzen. They're really tough to beat there, and I think that place is going to be amped the rest of the year. If I were to bet right now, I would say the Wisconsin game.
Because the Michigan game would be a bad loss, in my opinion.
Well, I think either of them would be a great loss.
Either, but
The reality in the playoff is it doesn't, you know, bad losses suck. You don't want to do it, but it's not going to tank your season. The travel thing, I think, has been a slightly overblown stat early in the season, but I've argued later in the season it may be having a bigger impact. So Oregon hasn't been hit by this East Coast travel thing yet. Now is when it begins for them. They go to Purdue, you're back at home against Illinois, then you go to Michigan the next week, then you're back home against Maryland, and then you go to Wisconsin. So every other week for the next, 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever.
And if you get weather in Wisconsin,
cold,
if it's cold,
middle
snowy,
of November,
wet, nasty.
I would actually argue you guys this isn't why you won, but I'd argue you got a huge schedule break the way it all kind of shook
totally
out.
Totally did.
Going into Ohio State.
Totally. We got a Friday night game. They had to play Saturday against Iowa.
We had two road games, but one of them was 30 miles south.
It was an in-state game.
Or north.
Exactly. Yeah. So I will stick with 11-1. I'd love to see him go undefeated. I just, you know, history, injury happens, funky games happen. They've shown that they're capable of playing funky games, so I wouldn't be surprised if somebody tripped them up at some point. I will stick with 11-1. All right, there are our final answers. By the way, our audience on that one, you can go vote on all these at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Let me find the Oregon one quickly, and then we'll go. 11-1 is your number one answer. 48% of people saying 11-1. A fun game of flip it and stick it with our preseason predictions. The NFL trade market is heating up, and one owner called out radio host yesterday, and then boy, oh boy, did he have the tables turn on him as the day went on. That is next. Well, if you've watched ESPN in the last 24 hours, you know that Jerry Jones was very frustrated with some radio hosts down in Dallas. We played the audio for you yesterday.
Swag Dirt leans over and goes, how do the Chargers not beat the Cardinals by more than a field goal?
I mean, coaching advantage, Kyler Murray's a miniature human. How do they not win that game by three?
They make beat that the make Niners sense. Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was lucky, okay? Late fumble, lucky win. Diana Rossini got a sit-down interview, not sit-down, but probably a phone call interview with Jerry Jones last night.
Yeah, she is based in New York. That was a phone call.
Phone call interview. Yeah. And she, you know, hey, you're in the headlines today. What do you want to explain yourself? And he had these long quotes, basically like, people in radio don't know what the hell they're talking about, and I'm not gonna take that kind of fire from people in radio. Now, if it was the fans, I would take it, but they don't know what they're doing.
Interesting, the fans are allowed to ask the question,
sure.
But the people watching the game
right.
to talk about the games,
can't do it.
They don't know. Okay.
RJ Choppy, who we've had on the show before, he's a part of that morning show in Dallas, had a great tweet last night because somebody was traded yesterday, which made everybody pay attention to Jerry Jones and his roster construction. Amari Cooper got traded yesterday. Do you know what Amari Cooper got traded for yesterday to the Bills?
Third round pick, I believe.
Third round pick. Yeah. Not bad, right? Third round pick.
Good. Yeah.
He's a good wide receiver. Still, I know he's had some drops this year, but he gets to go play for a functioning offense.
I think he's tired of Cleveland is what happened.
He wanted out. Remember when the Ayuk stuff was circulating? He was like, please, God, trade for me, San Francisco. Get me out of here, man. He got traded yesterday for a third round pick. Mm-hmm. Do you remember where Amari Cooper got traded from to go to Cleveland?
That would be Big D.
That was the Dallas Cowboys in 2022. 2 years ago. So Amari Cooper was 2 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what he got traded for?
I don't.
The Dallas Cowboys 2 years ago traded Amari Cooper to Cleveland for a fifth round pick. 2 years later, he got traded for a third round pick.
He was pretty good in Dallas, too.
He was great in Dallas. And RJ Choppy had a tweet saying, instead of finding new radio hosts, maybe find a better trade value chart. That could help a little
bit. How about find
a
real general manager?
How about find a general manager?
An 82-year-old owner who thinks he knows as much as these
talking
other
about
managers?
The size of his players' units on live Instagram feeds with Jamie Foxx. So I did get a chuckle at that. The trade market has heated up. We had two wide receivers dealt yesterday, Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper.
Yep.
We didn't even talk about it the other day. The Seahawks made a move for their defensive line.
Yeah.
Again, was it Roy Robertson Harris or whoever his name is from
Jacksonville. Yep.
Sixth round pick, I think, went there. What do we make of the NFL trade market heating up a little bit?
Also, the Vikings traded Akers.
Cam Akers, they got him back yesterday.
Yeah, Aaron Jones is dinged up. Mixon came back, and Houston had another running back come back. So he was, Akers was expendable.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting trade market.
When's the deadline? Next week or the week after?
It's election day.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is it November 5th?
It's election day.
The trade stuff. The Adams-Rodgers thing. I mean, can you flirt any harder publicly post-breaking up?
Yeah.
My God, we all knew that was going to happen. I think the Cooper one's bigger than the Adams one, personally, because I think the Jets' defense is going to fall off a little bit. And I didn't see anything offensively that got me so much more jacked about what they are.
No.
I think his arm's kind of shot. I think he's a check down captain. I'm just not impressed with Rodgers. I love the Cooper to Buffalo thing. One, I think it definitely inserts a number one receiver. Two, I'll take a chance on a guy who's a little bit of the dropsies this year, getting away from Deshaun Watson and feeling better about himself.
Yeah.
And three, I actually think this is really good for Shakir and Keon Coleman.
Yes.
This is going to open things up for them. I think Keon Coleman isn't quite Justin Jefferson, but I still am really high on what he can be. And so I think this opens things up for Buffalo in a big, big way. And Buffalo, I mean, they just won at New York without having an Amari Cooper.
They did.
So I really liked that trade. Jerry Jones got absolutely destroyed nationally, and I was really happy to hear that. That is... And somebody DM'd us about this. I didn't respond. That is not an easy spot for a radio host.
No.
Any radios can get on and say how easy that would be to handle. They're lying to you. That is a tough spot because that's a huge business partner. And no, Jerry Jones doesn't pay them. Jerry Jones cannot fire them. But Jerry Jones is obviously the owner and can have a say in play-by-play stuff. And so you worry about that. I listened to their show coming in today because I wanted to hear how they respond. And Choppy basically is like, I'm done talking to him. And the other guy, his co-host, Sean, was basically happy to hear the support that he got nationally. And it's like, I'm not going to ask questions that he wants. I'm going to ask questions that everybody's thinking about.
Yes. You want to face, you're willing to face the fans, but not radio hosts. What the hell do you think the fans are going to ask you?
I just think that was an odd position to take. We are idiots.
Yes.
We are wrong all the time. Some of you are really smart. I read the text line. But also, I find it interesting, fans are the ones can ask questions, but not the people who also are watching the games. And most of our have become fans.
Yeah.
That's what the media has become. It's like everybody's a fan. Even the beat writers are becoming fans.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. Biggest move yesterday to you, Swag? Cooper,
too? I think it was Cooper, not only for what he can do on the field, but you've got so much young talent to have somebody like Cooper that can show all those guys in practice week to week and in the film rooms and the preparation and all the little itty-bitty, tiny professional details that they need to assess and be prepared for, I think will make that entire wide receiver group get better as the season goes on.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Keon Coleman hasn't been he's not been Justin Jefferson good to your point, but he's been solid. But you don't look at him right now, maybe you will in a year or two, and say that's a number one guy that we got to circle and
hasn't
stop.
Yet, yeah.
Hasn't quite, but he's been good. He's been consistent. He's made some really nice plays. just adding another weapon. We all knew that Buffalo at some point was going to have to do this. We just wondered when will it take place. I assumed it would happen in the offseason. Smart of them to kind of wait, see how the landscape played out. They're off to, what are they, 4-2, 6 games into the season. Got a
four
nice win.
4-2, two-game lead in the
division. Two-game lead in the division. So you got off to a fine start.
It's a bad division,
It's a
too.
Bad division. Yeah. So you go add this weapon. I love that move for Buffalo.
What about Adams to the Jets? Because Orlovsky thinks that makes them make the playoffs now, and Jets fans have talked themselves into this is going to be what changes us.
Yeah, this is going to fix it, right?
You see, what's the bigger thing to you guys? And I might kind of feel the same about both, because we always think all of these players make such an impact. And ultimately, it proves quarterback and coaching
is the main thing.
What's the bigger deal to you guys? Hutchinson out for the Lions or Adams to the Jets?
Hutchinson out for the Lions, because I don't take the Jets seriously, even with Devontae Adams. Now, the next month for them is manageable. You know, there's the Colts are in there, the Cardinals are in there, the Pats are in there, so they have some winnable games. But they did lose to the Broncos at home, so, you know. And I know Devontae Adams will make their offense better. This weekend, are they going to make the
playoffs? I don't know that.
Sure, are they going to make the playoffs if they lose this weekend? If they go to 2-5, are they going to make the playoffs?
No.
Right, so this weekend is a must-win game for them.
What about them if they lost this weekend on Sunday? Who are they playing on Sunday Night Football?
It's Pittsburgh, in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so
they're going on the road.
You lose to Pittsburgh. What about them losing to Pittsburgh would make you feel like they're going to turn that around for 2-5?
Absolutely nothing. They're two wins on the year against New England and Tennessee. That's all they got.
By the way, correction from yesterday. Crosby did tweet out about that push and said that's like one of his favorite people.
Okay.
So that was one of those like, and he kind of pushed him intensely.
Celebrating together. Yeah. So trade market's eating up. A couple more weeks until the deadline, but a couple of big wide receivers got dealt yesterday. Made for a fun afternoon. Hey, look at that. A little bit of NFL news out there. Amari Cooper to Buffalo, big one. And Devontae Adams, obviously, going to the Jets. Let's wrap it up. We got game three of the NLCS tonight. Game three of the WNBA Finals?
Yes.
Game three of the We'll wrap it up. Answer the poll questions next on The Fan. Here comes the outstay for All right, let's take a look at the poll question from earlier in the show. Does their name being the Guardians lessen your excitement to watch them in the playoffs? Right now.
Yeah, this took an interesting tone on Twitter.
I bet it did. 66% of people are saying yes, it does. I'm guessing that a lot of people are responding with their old name, and that should still be their name, damn it!
What if you call them the Cleveland G's?
Cleveland G's.
Well, you mentioned the NWSL had a women's team introduced into Boston, and they're called what, the Boss Nation?
They're going to call themselves Boss Nation FC.
So not Boston,
not Boston
Nation, Boss Nation.
Nation.
And FC. We know Portland's looming with the WNBA. The Spiders were right there.
It's right there.
And
right
that
in your
logo.
Grass.
We had right the logo. Grass. We had it all.
It's right there, man. And they let it pass. So 68% of you saying that, yes, it does lessen your excitement. Do you have a preview of Game 3 of the WNBA Finals for me tonight?
Yeah, I mean, look, the first game was an absolute choke job by Breonna Stewart and Liberty. They were up 18, and the Lynx came back, and they handled their business. They won it in controversial fashion. Liberty took care of business in Game 2.
At home, I'm assuming they were
at home.
Yep.
Okay. And now here you go to Minnesota. I'm hoping that Collier and company can keep this one tight, but two games in, I have my sample says Liberty are clearly better.
Better team if they don't gack away game
if
one.
If they don't choke away game one, yeah. They are up 2-0. So I'm leaning Liberty here, unfortunately. But Collier's been really good this year. So I think Minnesota has a shot. They're at home. The Liberty have dominated this series.
It'd be fun to see Sabrina get a ring. Be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. Swag, any thoughts on game three? Are you going to watch tonight? Or are you just dialed into the Dodger game?
I will be dialed into the Dodger game, but I will probably have that on the second screen.
Number two screen?
So, yeah.
Okay.
It'd be cool when she's a Portland player
exactly.
With a ring.
With a ring.
Then
she's got to bring championship pedigree to start our organization,
experience.
Right?
Yeah.
Know how to do it from the, you know, start.
By the way, that new Sacramento.
Four Hall of Famers on your roster.
The new Bay Area team, not Sacramento, Bay Area team.
The Valkyries.
They're going to pick sixth in the draft. And so, like, if that's our lot in life, we're not getting Juju Watkins.
No, we're not. That would suck.
So getting a Sabrina would be pretty crucial.
We're going to need somebody like that.
Yes.
To build our team.
Yeah.
Dodgers and Mets game three of the NLCS at Citi Field. I'm sure the scene will be chaotic. Walker Buehler, Luis Severino. Are we watching? Do we care? Who wins?
This is the series I care about.
Okay.
I'm taking the Doyers.
The Doyers on the road.
I think the Dodgers.
Are they back or your team's not done
anymore?
I don't
know that they're back, but I like them in this game.
NLCS.
It's game to game, man.
I know. It's just, I know.
If Buehler is still pitching in the fifth and sixth innings, then life is good.
Yeah, he had a rough start, but he bounced back well after giving up those runs early against
well,
San Diego.
Defense betrayed him in
That's
that
true.
Game.
That's very true. So there you go. Good little show, folks. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. After it's Reagan at 1080 The Fan, we had Josh Payton on, the commissioner of college football. He had some great thoughts on Autzen Stadium, his experience in Eugene this weekend, what the win meant for Dan Lanning. You can go find that at 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080 The Fan. That will do it for us. Is Lanning on primetime today? Do we know? Because they're playing on a Friday. Thumbs up. Yes, he is. So he's on primetime today. So there you go. Thanks so much, everybody, for being a part of our Wednesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.